I gotta admit, I'm pretty excited to be up here this morning. I missed everybody, and I missed last Sunday, missed being here at home. And this message this week is just really, it really speaks on my heart because it's something that's it's personal to me, but it's personal to every one of us. And I was thinking back about the whole, where we came about 10 months ago, and the way the Holy Spirit has led us through the messages. And we've talked about holy living. We've talked about spiritual health. We've talked about becoming like Christ, the condition of our hearts, equipping ourselves with what it takes to live in the light. We've talked about restoration, healing, praying, reading, relationships. And as the Holy Spirit has continued to lead, so we've had these messages that keep bringing us along this same line. And everything that we have studied so far encourages in some way our physical and spiritual health and well-being, and all of our studies so far have led us down the path to knowing God better and drawing near to God, haven't they? All about being healthy and getting closer to God, deepening our relationships and drawing close to Him. We talked about holy living. Does it make sense that someone who is living in the light as opposed to the darkness or that gray area we talked about, would it make sense that they would probably know God better? That they would have a deeper relationship with God if you're living with Him. And the condition of our hearts, we talked about that a while ago, but we spent a lot of time in different areas of working on our hearts and the things that we have buried in our hearts in prayer and how our hearts are the mediums that we use to connect with God. And someone whose condition of our hearts, you know, the condition of our heart plays such a huge part in how close we can draw near to God. And so the message kind of has to do with, why does God want us to know Him so much? Why does He want us to draw near to Him? And people are probably, well, duh, this is an easy answer. Because God loves us, right? And God wants us to be close to Him because God is love. It says so in Isaiah 43, God calls us as our children. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Child, you are mine. And I will never leave you. And I will always be with you. And no matter what, you're still going to go through things, but they will not overtake you because I am there. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 3 says, see how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. And yes, God loves us, and He wants us to know Him because He loves us, but there's more to it. There's another reason. There's another reason why God wants us to draw close to Him. There are side effects to knowing God more, and it says so in Colossians, starting verse 9, and this is Paul and Timothy writing this book. It says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. Now that's kind of what we've been talking about, right? Holy living, having the knowledge of God, and then your lives will produce what God wants you to produce. But then he goes on, all the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Did anybody catch the side effect in there to growing? And I just said it. Anybody catch that? It says you will grow as you learn to know God better. It's not just because God loves us, but He knows that the more time that you spend with Him, the more you're going to grow. Because there's a part of me that cannot be made or reproduced by anything in this world. It's complex yet simple, and no one else has one quite like mine. And there's no scientific explanation or technology that can explain it or contain it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about our souls. Everybody has them, but is there anything in the world, any scientific technology, anything of the world that can reproduce it or can explain it or can even pinpoint where it is or what it does or where it came from? Anything in the world that can do that? I don't think so. And everybody has one. And our souls are so extraordinary that they can only be explained by supernatural. can't they? There's nothing on earth that can explain the fingerprint of God in your soul. Although there are people who may argue where the soul comes from, you cannot argue that it is there. There are people that argue that God does not exist, but they serve something else. They serve some other God in some way. But nobody can really deny that it doesn't exist. See, the soul is like a flower. I love this. What does it take to make a flower grow? You need to plant it in some soil, right? It needs water. It needs protection. It needs nourishment. It needs shelter from the harsh elements. And we did this experiment when I was in elementary school. We took these flowers and we planted them in different things. And one of them, we planted it in soil. We gave it water. We gave it food, all those right things. But we put it in the cupboard and closed the door. And man, did this thing grow. It grew and it sprouted up, but it got so tall, but the stem was so weak that it couldn't hold itself up, so we had to stick a stake in the pot and tie it to it. And it didn't have what it needed, so it didn't produce any color. The stem was an ugly yellow. So instead of being a beautiful flower, and it didn't have what it needed to produce any buds or petals or anything, instead of being a beautiful flower, it was just an ugly weed. Because it was missing that one thing. It was missing the sun, right? It can still grow without it. But what you got is a weed. It's not beautiful. It's not what it was meant to be. It's not what it was designed to be. It's just this ugly, yellow, weak weed. But it can still grow. And we are the same. We have our food. We have our water. We have our protection, our nourishment. But without God, who is our sun, and your soul, which is the flower, sure, your soul is there, but without that sun that was designed, without God, that specific thing that it really, really needs to be beautiful and to flourish, without that, our souls are just like weeds, weak, empty, not what they were designed to be. And as it says in Colossians, as we learn to know God better, we will grow, and God is our sun. He's the light that we really need to grow. And God knows it. And so that's why he wants you to draw near to him. Because he wants you to grow. But your soul can't grow unless you draw near to God. Unless you draw near to the source of light, you cannot grow. Your soul is still there. But it's just not growing. I think about all the people that I know and that I have known that are living in the dark. That are feeding their souls in the dark, just like that flower was in the cupboard. People are living in the dark in the world. And we know that they're eating something. They've got to fill up on something because we were designed hungry. And so the world offers all of these things to fill up on your soul. And so I know all these people and have known these people living in the dark, and they just don't really understand that what they're filling up on is not making their souls what it could be. It's not a question of whether or not our souls are hungry. Like I said, we were designed that way. So what are we filling up on? Every one of you is designed to be so beautiful, but the only way to get there is to draw near to God. That is the only way. He is your son. We have to let him fill us with what we need. And I hear this message, and I think we... Did anybody not know that? It's okay if you didn't. But I think we all kind of get the gist of it. We understand that you've been going to church long enough, you've been around Christians long enough, you understand that we're supposed to be around God, we're supposed to have a relationship with God, we're supposed to be close to God, and it affects us positively. I think we all knew that. So what's the deal? How come our souls are kind of weedy? What's the deal? All of these things sound great, so why don't we just embrace God and flourish? Why don't we just do it? I know why. I know why for me. There are times when I felt that I should be growing. I should be embracing God. I felt God calling me, and I was like, you need to go. You need to get closer to God. You need to do this because you're going to turn into who he wants you to be. Your soul is finally going to flourish, and you're going to become who he designed you to be. I'm going to become who God designs me to be, and I want to do it. I wanted to make my God proud and I wanted to flourish, but there was one thing that I couldn't get past in my mind. There's one thing. I think we understand that things that are healthy grow, right? Have you ever known anything that was healthy that wasn't growing? What happens to things when they grow? They change. Have you ever seen anything that was healthy and growing that stayed the same? Have you ever seen anything that didn't change? And that's what was holding me back. The hardest thing to get my mind wrapped around, because I wanted to do these things, but I'm afraid of the change. Has anybody else ever been afraid of the change? That's right, if your hand's not up, you're lying. Just the word change makes some people very nervous, and it makes other people just nervous. Why? We're creatures of comfort, aren't we? We're creatures of habit. We've got these brain things in our brain, synapses, that we get into these habits, and our brain doesn't even really have to think. Have you ever been driving down the road, and all of a sudden you snapped out of it, and you're like, how did I just get to work? I don't even remember turning the corner. I used to do this in high school all the time. I'd be walking down the hall to class, and my brain would wake up, and I'm like, where am I going? I don't even know which class I'm going to. I'd have to stop, open up my book, and see where I was going, because my brain just got so much into this habit that I knew where I was going. How do we know that we're creatures of habit? Everybody put your hands together like you're going to pray. Everybody. Okay, which thumb's on top? My left one. I see Rick, your right one is. All right, switch them. You might have to think about it. How's it feel? It doesn't feel right, does it? I can't do that. Mark, you're missing out. Okay. Oh, he's doing the right one. Okay, everybody cross your arms. Mark's just like me. He's a left over right. Cross him the other way. This is the funny part, because I'm like, I don't even know how to do it. It doesn't work at all. It's the same thing with putting your pants on. You always put one leg on first. Usually, I'm a right leg person. Same thing with your contacts. My wife will never put in the one contact first. She has to do the one contact. And when we hold hands, when we're walking, I have to hold her hand a certain way. Just the other day, we were walking up and we were holding hands. I'm like, this, we had to change because it didn't feel good. We are creatures of comfort and habit, and the proof is right here. Because Mark's not going to fold his arms the other way, because it's just not going to feel good. I know it. Even these tiny little changes make us uncomfortable. We have to get honest. Going deeper with God means change. Because healthy things grow. Growing things change. I think we all agree that change challenges us. But it says here, know the Lord deeper and deeper, you will grow. Which means sooner or later you're going to change. And if we know God deeper, we know we're going to face changes. And they can be scary, but all of the things that we're afraid of changing in our lives won't even come close to feeling God at work in your life every day, because I know. Because I remember that scared little person who was being called deeper but wouldn't go. Nuh-uh. I'm not switching arms. I'm not doing it. Mm-mm. I'm not praying with my right over left. I'm a lefty guy. Can't do it. Don't want to change. And it was just the thought of the change that was the scariest thing, because the changes, you know, they're not so bad. It's not that change is this terrible thing, it's just the thought of being uncomfortable. It's just the thought of change. Yes, change can be it can be scary. A 26-year-old senior pastor at a French church in the middle of Iowa, nowhere in the middle of Iowa, that is not educated, is a scary thing, isn't it? Yeah, I see Joe smiling. Yeah, he's already shared that with me. It's a scary thing. It's not just for you guys. It's scary for my family to move out here. It's a scary thing, but God led the way. Don't get me wrong. The change was not easy, as my wife shared earlier. Very hard. It's not easy, but God led the way. And you know what I've learned? To walk with the Lord requires movement. movement equals change. So God is trying to get us healthy because the effect of being healthy and knowing God is going deeper with Him, and the effect of that is growth, and the effect of growth is change, and change is needed for us to become who He wants us to be. And it gives us the ability to walk with Him. Not just walk with Him where we want to walk with Him, but it gives us the ability to walk with God where God wants us to walk. Where He has designed us to walk. Because if you're walking over there, you're going to get fulfilled. And you get all of this wonderful stuff by just learning to know God better and better. All of these wonderful things. It sets off that chain reaction. And once you get there, your soul that you kept in the comfort of the dark, just like I had, just that little bit of light. Oh, we give it a little bit. Just keep it alive. But not enough to make it flourish. That soul that was dying becomes alive. Your soul is finally flourishing. And if you've never felt closer to God, I feel God every single day. Because I'm seeking Him. Now, that doesn't mean that there's times where God, He's always there, but it says that there's times where He might pull His presence from you. You know, because we're supposed to go through things, like in James where it says, take joy in your trials. Because they produce character. But you will never feel closer to God or better about your life the more you draw near to God. Amazing. You can get all these wonderful things just by learning to know God deeper. So draw near to God. Learn to know Him better and better, and you will grow. You will find fulfillment, and you will become who you were made to be, and you will walk with the Lord where you were meant to walk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we understand that to grow means to come closer to You, and that to grow means to change. And Father God, You have changed so much just in these past 10 months in our lives. And we're still here, Father God. Help us to embrace You and to know You deeper so that our souls may flourish and grow, so that we may become who You have designed us to be, so that we can live lives that are fulfilled, not lives just sitting on the couch, letting our souls stay in the dark in the comfort of the world, empty and unfulfilled. Give us the courage to heed Your message today, Father God. Amen.